says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Acts 2:38 says that if we're washed in the blood of Christ, our sins are washed away, the slate is clean. Right? That new wardrobe that God gives us in Christ. Completely spotless. But when we think about what we've done, and though we've been forgiven, and though as we stand fresh, a new person, out of that watery grave, as we stand there, perhaps we still have guilt for what we did in the past. And that's what we struggle with daily. I have people tell me all the time, Larry, I don't feel like I'm worthy of the blood of Christ. We see, it's good that we have some form of sorrow because it brings about the idea of what it means to be aware of the transgressions that we've done to commit those sins. But at the same time, we have to remember those sins, that guilt that we have, can stop how we also serve God because they become crippling in a way. And that's not what God wants. Again, God says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I'll cast those sins into the depths of the sea, it says in Revelation. So I understand those sins are cast away. God plants that no fishing sign, and those sins can never be brought to bear again because God has forgiven them. But here's where we fall into trouble. We continue to relive them. We continue to bring them up day after day, week after week, year after year. So then how do we deal with guilt? Well, we can go to the Bible and see how Paul, known as Saul before he was converted to being a Christian, as he was one breathing out threatenings against the church and throwing them in prison and beating them, one who was actually there as the garments of those men who were taking off their robes to throw and stone Stephen himself, stood there and watched this man die. Now think about that guilt for a second perhaps, or the sorrow that Paul felt in that moment as he stood there watching this man being stoned to death because he gave the Pharisees and the scribes a history lesson on who Jesus was and when he was to come. So when you think about Paul standing there, and while this is taking place as a young man, he introduces Saul as one who's watching somebody be killed. So when you think about this, it really kind of brings into light all of the things that Paul later writes about, how he's not worthy, how he no longer looks back but presses toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians chapter 3. He talks about telling Timothy the aspect of who I was and I'm not fit to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm the chief among all sinners. You know what that is? That's sorrow. So what that tells me, if Paul himself is struggling with the concept of guilt, of the idea of sorrow, of who he used to be previously, but it's what Paul says concerning who he was previously that we have to remember. And Paul said, but by the grace of God go I. Paul said, I understand I wasn't a good person. Read through Acts chapter 7 through Acts chapter 9. Paul said, I'm the chief among all sinners. I'm the worst of the worst. But Paul said, I understand one thing, and that old self was crucified, Galatians 2 and verse 20. I became a new creature in who Christ wants me to be. I understand what I used to be, but he said, I've lived in all good conscience until now, Acts 23 and verse 1. That is, he knows what I did. He says, I understand what I did, but it's not going to affect who I am now for God. So he doesn't allow his past to creep into the future of what it means to be a Christian. You see, you're never going to forget the guilt of what you committed against God or whatever your transgression is that you struggle with because we're human beings. And because sorrow is going to be present, because things are going to be reminded, and because of our own conscience being what it is as human beings, that thought is brought to bear. And because of this, when we think about what Saul did, one of the things that Saul did most was that he believed in the grace of God. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, as he's writing to a church who themselves is struggling with the idea of sin, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 and 10, he says, for I am the least of all the apostles, that I am not even me to be called an apostle. Well, I don't think there's a person in this room that wouldn't say they're not worthy to be called a Christian. Because we're not. Because with that, we bear the title of who Christ is, right? based upon what Jesus did for us. But yet Jesus said, I'm freely giving you what it means to be a Christian. He says, for I'm the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. So Paul's recognizing his sin from his past and what he did as he's writing to the church. He's not ashamed of who he used to be. He's not proud of it. But isn't Paul really expressing the idea and the concept of, that's who I was, but this is who I am? Because when we come to Christ, we bring the old person to the foot of Calvary and we crucify him. But we learn from the old person too, don't we? You see, that's where the guilt or the sorrow comes in. Verse 10, Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He was able to live with yesterday because he believed in the grace of God. When we have difficulty living with our past, brethren, we've got to believe in God's graciousness towards us as His children. And we have to fully trust in the fact that God says He forgives us. We just don't want to forget it. God says their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. But what about me, God? I can't stop thinking about it. I remember what I did. So how is it that you can't remember what I did? Because He chooses not to. That's where we struggle with the concept of forgiveness with each other, right? Let me ask you this. Has anybody ever transgressed against you or sinned against you that has caused you some type of ill feeling towards that person where they think they need to apologize and ask forgiveness? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. We all have, right? So keep your hand up if you forgave them. Keep your hand up if you remember the transgression. See? The Bible says I'm supposed to forget it. Forgive and forget. See, that's not an easy thing for us to do. So the same thing applies to us when we sin against God, the guilt or the sorrow that we have, which is supposed to lead us to repentance of what forgiveness is. It's that we can't let go of our own selves and our own sins. Because when you think about God's outpouring of grace upon us, Paul said that grace was not in vain that He delivered to him. And Paul said, I labored that much more because I wanted myself and everybody else to know that even though I was the person that I used to be, this isn't who I am, and I'm not going to let it affect who I need to be for God then. You see, Paul believed in the compassion of Christ also. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, as Paul is writing to the young gospel preacher here, encouraging him and exhorting him, he writes in 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 through 16, speaking about compassion. Paul writes, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. First, Paul said, let me let you know how grateful and thankful I am that Jesus Christ even found me worthy to be a minister of the gospel. Takes this man, broken, abusing the Lord's church, and makes him one of the chief apostles. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and Paul says, of who I am the chief. Paul said, I'm the worst of the worst. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Think about this for a moment. If you allow your guilt over your sins and your life to cripple you who you are for Christ, how good are you for Christ? What light can you shine for Him if you allow that guilt to rid you of the joy of your own salvation? What joy can you shine as a light to the world to let them see that you don't have to have that guilt anymore? But here's what we really need to understand about the concept of guilt in relation to what Jesus did. Jesus didn't die on the cross so that we wouldn't feel guilty. He died on the cross so that we wouldn't be guilty. Guilt is not a feeling that God is concerned about. God is only concerned is that we stand righteous before Him on the day of judgment and that we're not guilty of transgressing His law. You see, when we learn from the Apostle Paul, we believe in the grace of God, we understand truly the compassion and mercy that God had upon us through His Son. Because without God's grace, we're nothing. And Paul said, because of His grace, I continue to walk today. Because of God's mercy, even though I did all of these horrible things to the church of Christ, even though I beat, killed, slaughtered, put people in prison, even pulled them out of the synagogues, chasing them into other cities, Paul said, I am what I am now because of God's grace and mercy towards me. Do I think perhaps you'll never stop feeling guilty over something that really bothers you? Probably not, because we're human beings. But we have to learn how to let it go so it doesn't affect who we are now for God. You see, feelings of guilt can often weigh us down, can't they? I mean, they can really press you down so much that you don't feel like doing anything. And it's not something that most Christians or unbelievers, for that matter, want to embrace. But you have to understand, guilt is always, always hungry, and it will consume you if you allow. It will eat away at your innermost core and stop your progression for Christ. There are some people in the church, though, however, that feel if they're not guilty, they don't feel like they're truly serving God. You see, they feel like the preacher needs to be stomping on their toes every sermon. Because if the preacher's not stomping on their toes, then they feel bad because they don't feel bad. So they carry this guilt. And they carry this idea that if I'm not doing something in relation to my spirituality that's causing me this guilt, then I'm really not a Christian. And the preacher's being soft on us, so I don't like those kind of sermons. They want those hellfire and brimstone sermons. And then you have those who say to live in Christ is to be free from guilt and to feel good. Therefore, we need to be rid of the guilt and the things that we do. In this view, they say Christ died so we don't feel guilty anymore. That's not why He died. He died so that we wouldn't be guilty, so that we would stand justified before God, just if I'd never sinned, Romans chapter 8. So I know as I stand before God, I might have these feelings of guilt or sorrow. But really, when you think about it, sorrow is not a bad thing if it causes us to repent and change the direction that we're living in life. For godly sorrow works repentance that leads to salvation, not to be repented of or change your mind about. So godly sorrow is a good thing. Just as if we're sick, when we're sick, we understand that we need to go to the doctor. There's something that we feel that doesn't feel right about us, so we go and get it checked out. The same way when we're sin sick and we have the idea of sorrow, or guilt if you want to call it, tells us there's something wrong and something spiritually needs to be put in check and fixed. So if I have these feelings of guilt, but I know I've been forgiven, I need to trust in God's grace and mercy that He's already forgiven me of those things. But if I have feelings of sorrow and guilt now for something I haven't fixed, the Bible tells me now is the time to fix them. Because that's what leads to salvation. If we fail to recognize that guilt isn't an emotion, then we wander into a language that isn't in the Bible. The Bible talks about not being guilty before God. But sorrow brings us in the presence of God to say, Lord, forgive me, I made a mistake, and I need to be forgiven. Christ didn't come again so that we wouldn't feel guilty anymore. He died so that we wouldn't be guilty anymore. And when we remember that, and when we truly understand the concept of what the cross should mean to us in relation to our sorrow, brethren, there's no way that you cannot look at the cross and feel guilty about why you put Him there. Because guess what? The Bible said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When we're speaking about the gospel to others, we're not telling them about feelings they can be released from, but rather the verdict that they can be released from. And because we're human beings, those feelings of guilt are going to be natural. And they're not just going to subside when we put on Christ in baptism or when we ask for forgiveness. But what they should make us remember and help us to understand, it's because of God's grace that I can stand here today, and it's because of God's mercy that I can stand before Him on the day of judgment and hear not guilty. Because after all, that's what we're striving for. Not guilty, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter ye herein. That's all that we want, right? Brethren, may we all praise God and that He sets us free from the guilty verdict of sin. Because when you think about it, repentant tears wash out the stain of guilt. And when we're truly, truly sorrowful for something that we've done against God, it brings about that penitent heart by which we're being judged when we stand before God. I'm telling Him I'm not allowing the guilt of my past to affect the end of my future with you. So don't allow the guilt to cause you and push you away from being a servant for God. Don't allow the guilt to paralyze you in what it means to be a Christian. It's not to say you're not going to have it. Just don't allow it to hinder you, as Paul talks about in Philippians 3. Paul said, "Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul knew where he came from. He never forgot what he did, but it didn't stop him from where he was going. Tonight, if you need to go in that direction, but the guilt is keeping you from making that trip, we want to pray with you tonight. We want you to lean upon us, and we want you to know that it's going to be okay. We want you to talk to us. But I don't want you leaving here tonight with a feeling of guilt that you can't get rid of it. Because God said, "I'm willing to take away all of your pain and all of your sorrow." Jesus said, "Let me be the burden bearer." Give it to Him. And if you're here tonight and you haven't put on Christ in baptism, but you're experiencing the guilt of life because of what you did to Christ, Christ said, "Bring it to me and I'll take care of that too." Have that godly sorrow that leads to salvation through repentance that says, "I don't want to do that anymore. I'm putting my old self away. I want to become a new creature, confessing first that Jesus is the Son of God and putting Him on in baptism," where He says, "I'm going to wash all of those sins away and you don't have to worry about them anymore." Don't allow that to stop you tonight as together we stand and sing.